This week on Reentry Stories.
I really didn't really understand my rights and how they were violated.
I'm Mary Evans. In this season of Reentry Stories, we explore injustices within the criminal justice system and hear from exonerees who are reclaiming their lives. Support for Reentry Stories comes from the Montgomery County Office of Reentry and the Eichelberger Center for Community Voices at WISO. Richard Horton is a Franklin County native who was wrongfully convicted of a crime. He discusses the complexities of the exoneration process, the challenges of exhausting illegal appeals, and the crucial support organizations such as the Ohio Innocence Project provides to communities affected by wrongful convictions.
My name is Richard Horton. I'm 47 years old from Columbus, Ohio, and I was wrongly incarcerated for 16 years for aggravated robbery / home invasion that I did not commit.
And so what was the process like for you to start the exoneration process exactly? What did that entail?
So about 12 years in, after I had exhausted all my state remedies and countless trips to the law library, paying private investigators, paying appeal lawyers and attorneys, I started reaching out to different innocence projects all over the country. And fortunately for myself, I'd had a 10-page eyewitness expert report on my case done by a gentleman named Dr. Lippy. He's taught classes at Ohio State, Akron University. He's done various studies and written theses and even a couple of books on false identifications and how they've plagued the justice system. So what I would do essentially is I would copy this 10-page report and mail it to all different innocence projects all over the United States to try to get them to be interested in my case. And that's kind of where it started right there.
And so you were wrongfully convicted out of Franklin County, and you said that you exhausted all your state remedies or resources. What does that mean for the listeners that might not know what that is?
Oh, what that means is when I say that I exhausted all my state remedies, it basically means that I filed every appeal that each individual is entitled to after incarceration. You get the federal, the state, federal, state, and local. So you get three different appeals, and it's a long process. It took me about 12 years to exhaust all my remedies.
Wow. And so you linked up with the Ohio Innocence Project, obviously. And so tell me a little bit about what the exoneration process was like for you, because I think there's a misconception. People think that once someone says, okay, we got it wrong, let them out, that's the end of it. So what was the process like for you to be fully exonerated?
For me, the process was long and painstaking. So to get the Ohio Innocence Project to take your case is a big deal. It's an awesome deal because they get approached with thousands of cases, probably on a monthly basis. So and they also only really do a lot of DNA cases. Like I said in the beginning, I was wrongly incarcerated for a robbery / home invasion. So to get them to take interest in my case was a huge blessing. And so they agreed to start looking at my case in 2015. And I went through maybe about 8 different students before I started to get any kind of rhythm and action. And once they so what they did in my case was they were able to extract DNA from the crime scene from a shell case. And even though the crime was at this time, it was At the time they got this crop, the DNA, it was probably about 15 years, maybe 14 years old. The evidence from the crime scene was that old. So that was another huge blessing in my favor. So once they was able to obtain a DNA match that excluded me, that's kind of when the exoneration process began. And a judge granted me a new trial. I was given the state of Ohio had to release me. And contrary to what people may believe, it didn't really go smooth because once the judge overturned my conviction, the state refiled the charges again. So I had to essentially pay a bond to get out of prison, even though my conviction was overturned. So basically what happened when it was time for me to go to trial again, the state just conceded and agreed not to press further charges against me. And so the exoneration started to speed up more fast, more quickly. So that and here we are today.
And then once you go through the exoneration process, does that mean that it's wiped off your record, or do you have to go through something else to get it wiped off your record as well?
Oh no, despite all the hell I've been through, all the dark days, being in the cell, being wrongly convicted, the racial disparities, the slurs, the fights in prison, despite all the things that I've been through, being wrongly convicted, even when I was able to have my conviction overturned by the Ohio Innocence Project. Even though the evidence is plain there to see that I wasn't the gentleman who committed these heinous crimes, it's still a long process to get my record totally expunged and get this conviction wiped totally off my record. As a matter of fact, I've been home for 2 years trying to get this part of the process finished, and we're not even halfway there. As far as getting this off my record, you know, I'm going for job interviews and I'm telling people my story, but you know, the first thing that pops up when people, you know, run a 50 on me or check my records is aggravated robbery, home invasion, aggravated assault, burglary, and they're kind of looking at me like, you know, like I'm a bad person. And I'm trying to explain to them, you know, and tell them my story like I'm telling you right now, but not everyone is as open to the process. They just see what pops up on the computer.
And so this has been a process that you've been fighting for 2 years. Have you filed a civil suit at all?
Absolutely. Absolutely. A civil and a federal lawsuit for what the state of Ohio did to me and what they're continuing to do to me at this point.
Are you facing resistance, or they try not to compensate you for the civil part of it?
Absolutely. The attorney general is fighting with everything that he can to make this situation right. Despite, you know, the clear evidence on the table that I was wrongly convicted, despite me not being bitter about what happened to me, because I'm not a bitter person, I'm not angry. That was much too much of a burden to carry throughout this whole process. No part of this process has been easy from the beginning to the middle and hopefully towards the end. Nothing about this process is easy.
And did they ever find the true assailant to the crime?
That's not my responsibility. My responsibility is to be out here, be a productive citizen. Like I said, not be angry, not be bitter. Just try to make up for the lost time that was taken from me, that I was not able to have around my family, my wife, my two kids. I have a son. He has heart disease, and I haven't been able to be a big part of his life up until now. And I recently rekindled our relationship. As a matter of fact, I moved him into my basement from Florida. And we're making some strides in the right direction as a father and a son, and that's not really my concern right now. My concern is more about my family and it just trying to prove to the world that I'm a decent human being despite what's happened to me.
And how are you able to do that? Because I don't know that I would be so forgiving and so cool and calm. I mean, I'm gonna tell you right now, I was very guilty of everything I did. Everything that people said I did, trust and believe, I did it. And I've always been kind of like a shoot now, ask questions later type of person. And I don't know that I could, I don't know that. I mean, it's admirable and it's commendable. That's what I told Miss Nancy Smith too, and Dean as well. I don't know that I could be as calm and as forgiving. How do you do it?
It's like I said, even during my wrongful incarceration for the 16 years that I was wrongfully incarcerated, it just seemed a lot easier for me to go through life at that time, just being a more positive person. You know, I knew that I was not guilty of this crime. I knew I didn't do this evil, heinous stuff to these people, and I knew eventually the truth would come out. I didn't know when it would come out. And you know, I don't want you to get me wrong. There were some trying times. There were some dark days, but I just find it so much easier to count my blessings, to look at the cup as a half full type situation. That's why I'm doing this interview. I really want to just send out some healing energy, some positive energy to anyone that's going through, you know, something that they're going through, because we're all going to go through difficult situations in life. Just for me, just it's just so much easier to smile. It's even during some of my darkest days, it's just I have a family who looks upon me, and you know, despite the PTSD, despite the nightmares that come with a situation like this, I have to put on a good strong front and a good face for them. So I don't know, man. It's just easier for me to be positive than be negative.
I feel that. And so you guys were just recently, what was it, a couple weeks ago, you guys were in Louisiana, New Orleans, for the conference. And so what was that like, and what happens at those kinds of conferences?
Oh yeah, yes. New Orleans. First of all, let me say that it was a huge honor. It's always a huge honor to take part in the Innocence Conference. This is my third year attending. What goes on in a conference like that is a lot of networking between wrongly incarcerated individuals from all over the country. There are a lot of black and brown faces there. I gotta be real with you there. It had its sad moments. There were a lot of years lost, a lot of broken families trying to get put back together there. Me and my wife took part in a marriage counseling session this year, a grief counseling session. I hope to take part in a mammoth, I think it's a mammoth writing class to try to get my writing skills on par. But it's a lot of networking, it's a lot of good energy, a lot of healing energy. It's good to see some faces, you know, as who are familiar, you know, with the circumstances that I've been through. It's good to see that there are other survivors out there, you know, still doing good. You know, like I said, despite the PTSD, the tough times adjusting. I mean, something as simple as using your cell phone could be a triggering or very frustrating. So, you know, down in New Orleans, the weather was nice, the city was awesome. They did a great job hosting us. They had a parade for us, and it was just a beautiful time. It was, you know, my job gave me the time off of work, and I'm thankful for that. And it was good to get away for a second.
And I love the fact that you have an employer that's supportive, because not all industry and employers are so supportive of those things. The work that I do, we're getting ready to build a new building, and we're going to have a probation office right in the building because 43% of our staff is impacted. My full-time job, the job for NPR, is just like a part-time side gig that I have that I've been doing for the last 6 years. But my full-time job, I'm a director of strategic initiatives at the Food Bank, which is part of the Feeding America Network. Our sister food bank is Mid-Ohio Food Collective up there in Columbus. And
Right.
so the big food bank up there. And they're really open to hiring system impacted individuals as well. And so I'm thankful that industry's starting to take a look and realize that we're the type of people that are going to show up and give you our best at all times, because we have the most to prove, not only to ourselves, but to industry. So then that way they can see that it's not just a chance that they're taking, that it's actually an opportunity that they're granting, if that makes sense.
That yeah,
You kind of
that
touched
that.
on, yeah. Oh, what, I apologize.
Before you go into the next question, yeah, I definitely see it as a huge opportunity. Like you said, for people who are impacted, whether it was whether they committed the crime or they didn't commit the crime, you know, any job out here, I try to look at it as a huge opportunity. And one more thing I want to touch on before you move forward with the second question. When I got out in January 19th of 2022, when my conviction was overturned and I bonded out and they let me out, the cameras was there and it was all over the news, and it was a huge honor. I respect it, but at the same time, I just want people to know that, you know, being a gentleman, being a guy who was wrongly incarcerated, once I got out of prison, I didn't have the same opportunities and resources afforded to me that convicted individuals have available to them. I wasn't able to get food stamps. I wasn't able to get housing like someone who was coming out of prison. I didn't. I had to really pull myself up by the bootstraps. In places like the Ohio Innocence Project, well, they I really had to ask them for help, not only spiritually, mentally, but financially, till I got my bearings. So I want people to know that there needs to be programs or possibly funds set aside for wrongfully incarcerated individuals to get out here and be productive citizens, because, you know, like you mentioned earlier, there is a lawsuit, but that could be a decade before I re receive any funds from that. You know, if I receive any funds at all. And quite frankly, Mary, I have bills coming in the mail every day that I need to take care of today. So, you know, there should be something in place to help these guys get their feet, get their bearings. And you know, just something to get us started off on the right track. You know, it had been 16 years since I've driven a car. It had been 16 years since I've had to balance my checkbook. You know, it should be more programs out there, or at least opportunities for guys like that, especially in the state of Ohio. We up to what, 43 guys?
Hi, I'm Nina Ellis. The Ohio Country Podcast is ready for you to hear in its entirety, all 12 episodes. No doubt you're going to learn something about Ohio's indigenous tribes that you didn't learn in school. Find it at wiso.org or wherever you find your podcasts.
The Ohio Country is funded by Ohio Humanities.
And see, that's something that you just taught me, because I didn't know that wrongfully convicted people weren't eligible for assistance, but convicted system impacted individuals are. So that's definitely something I'm gonna look into, because I'm all about advocating for system impacted individuals to have resources. You know, my story, we talked briefly, my story's a little bit different, and it just kind of blows my mind that there's no support put in place. It also blows my mind that you have these people in a power position who can say, yeah, I made a mistake, but won't compensate you for the mistakes that they made. And I mean, not that you can put a dollar amount on your life being behind those bars and in that carceral system for 16 years. I mean, I don't even know that they could even offer a dollar amount to me if it'd be my life. Like, my life is invaluable. You know what I mean? Like, that's
Exactly.
how I would feel. So I just feel like that's even more of an injustice for you all to have to sit around and fight for something that was ultimately not your fault to begin with, and something that they caused. It's really just that's the growing trend with all these interviews, from Dean to Amanda to Nancy, that I've realized is like you guys still have to fight after the fight, and so it's just kind of like perplexing to me that's even something. I don't even remember where I was going to go with the next question, because oh yeah, I know what I'm going to say.
Okay,
You already, yeah. Go ahead.
let me
Go
say
ahead.
this real quick. And when you mentioned Dean, you know, people should know that he's been out of prison for 12 years and he still hasn't received a dollar. People should know that, because what they did to Dean and what they did to me, it just wasn't right. And we're just trying to move forward. And in the state of Ohio, they put up so many barricades and they fight. That's a shame. Man, he's been home 12 years.
I know. And, it broke my heart when I was talking to Dean, and he was like, I probably won't even be alive to see the action happen. And I was just thinking, like, man, that's heavy to think that you're fighting this fight. You've been fighting it, as you said, for 12 years, and you don't even have a glimpse of hope for the silver lining. And like that just speaks volumes for the kind of justice system that is incorporated in the state of Ohio. And I know what I was going to say to you, you kind of already touched on it. And I always try to ask the exonerees that I interview, that if you had one piece of advice to give someone who might be going through the same thing that you're going through, and they feel like giving up or they just lost hope, like, what would you tell them to do?
I would encourage them, and I would pray that they never give up. The advice that I would give them is learn the law. Growing up in Franklin County, they didn't really teach us the law in high school. So I really didn't really understand the rights that I had as a United States, as a citizen in the United States. And so I didn't really understand the twists and turns in my rights and how they were violated. You need to get to learn the law. You need to not give up. It was very hard for me to learn the law so I could approach the Innocent Project in a professional way and sound like I was talking, like I knew what I was talking about. I'm sorry. Excuse me. It was kind of like learning a foreign language without a tutor. Yes, I would definitely encourage people, man, don't give up. Use me as an example. Let me be the little bit of the light that keeps you going a day further. But you really need to get in that law library and know the law. You know, when I was wrongfully incarcerated, there was drugs. There was games. They give you video games. They give you everything that they can to distract you from gaining your freedom. But you got to stay focused, man, because it can happen. If it can happen to me, it can definitely happen for you.
And is there anything else you want to share before we wrap it up?
Mary Evans, I think that what you're doing is very commendable. I definitely appreciate you using your platform for good. Like you said, we all make mistakes, and you're taking your mistake and you're turning it into something good. And I just really want you just focus on the Ohio Innocence Project. They are a non-profit organization, so anything that anybody can give to further their cause, they are the reason why I'm sitting here today, and I'm forever thankful to them, and I will always promote them.
Thank you.
That was Richard Horton, and I'm Mary Evans. Support for Reentry Stories comes from the Montgomery County Office of Reentry and the Eichelberger Center for Community Voices at WISO.